Today's صباحية. Amnesty laws, final hour. شو الأخبار؟ Parliament's about to vote on a law that could empty Lebanon's prisons. Europe is quietly betting millions on spinnies. And the airport is technically open, but don't check the ticket prices. Wednesday is coming in with a lot to say. Lebanon's general amnesty law clears committees. Parliament votes tomorrow. The backstory. Lebanon's prisons are critically overcrowded, and a general amnesty law has been debated for years. The push intensified as humanitarian conditions deteriorated, and security forces accumulated tens of thousands of outstanding arrest warrants across the country. Joint parliamentary committees approved an amended amnesty draft on Tuesday, with Speaker Berri calling a general parliamentary session for Thursday to put it to a final vote. The formula reduces death sentences to 28 years of imprisonment, approximately 21 actual years, since a prison year equals 9 months, and life sentences to roughly 13 actual years. Detainees held over 14 years without a final judgment would be released while trials continue. Hard exceptions remain: terrorism, corruption, public funds crimes, money laundering, rape, human trafficking, and domestic violence are all excluded from the amnesty's scope. Unofficial figures suggest over 12,000 wanted persons exist nationwide, concentrated heavily in Bekaa, 50%, and the North, 20%, though thousands of outstanding warrants can be issued against a single individual. What to watch? The contentious clause releasing detainees held over 14 years without final verdicts still lacks full consensus inside the committees, meaning Thursday's General Assembly vote could see last-minute amendments or splits along block lines. Europe bets $22 million on Lebanon's private sector. The European Bank for Reconstruction and Development and the European Union announced a $22 million funding package for spinneys operator Gray Mackenzie Retail Lebanon, the first EBRD investment in Lebanon since 2019. The package breaks down as a $20.5 million loan plus a $1.5 million investment grant for energy efficiency and capital expenditure, structured under the EU's Municipal Infrastructure and Industrial Resilience Guarantee Program. The funding is expected to create between 800 and 1,000 direct and indirect jobs, finance 3 to 4 new store branches, and establish new meat and chicken production facilities. Economy Minister Ahmed Bissat also toured Tripoli, signing MOUs at the Chamber of Commerce, presenting a new logistics center at the Free Economic Zone, and inaugurating a solar power plant inside the Rashid Kedemi International Fair, which has recently attracted over 120,000 visitors. Why it matters? The EBRD's return to Lebanon for the first time in 5 years signals that at least some international institutions still see a viable private sector here, even as the broader economy remains in freefall since 2019. Beirut Airport. Most airlines back, but the seats still empty. Rafic Hariri International Airport is operating at around 45% of its April 2025 capacity since the ceasefire, up from just 25 to 35% during active hostilities between February 28 and the truce, but still far below normal levels, according to Civil Aviation Chief Captain Mohammed Aziz, as reported in An-Nahar. Daily passenger traffic currently stands at 10,700. From May 1 to 19, 84,377 passengers arrived, while 72,987 departed. More than 13 airlines have returned, including Qatar Airways, Emirates, Turkish Airlines, and Egypt Air, but most have slashed frequencies. Turkish Airlines dropped from 4 daily flights to 1, Emirates from 3 to 4 to 1. Ticket prices have risen roughly 20% due to fuel and insurance costs, with jet fuel climbing from around $700 to nearly $2,000. A family of 5 from Montreal now faces travel costs of up to $10,000 to $12,000 versus $5,000 to $6,000 before. Zooming out, European carriers like Lufthansa and Eurowings continue to suspend Beirut routes, not solely because of Lebanon, but as part of a broader Middle East risk calculation that won't shift until the region's security picture stabilizes. Moving on to quick hits, Klayat finally gets its moment. Skylounge's services won the public tender to operate and invest in René Mouawad Airport in Klayat, marking the first concrete step toward activating Lebanon's long-delayed second civilian airport and easing pressure on Beirut's overcrowded Rafic Hariri International Airport. Europe $32 million for the south in Bekaa. The EU, France, and Denmark pledged a $32 million package, running from 2026 to 2029, to support war-affected regions through local governance, sustainable agriculture, and job creation, with Finance Minister Yassine Jaber calling the timing critical for Lebanon. Baghdad visit, Beirut agenda. General Security Chief Hassan Shoukai traveled to Iraq to meet new PM Ali Azaidi, strengthening bilateral ties. Iraq had already sent Lebanon 1 million liters of fuel and 1,000 tons of wheat by truck in April, reportedly through Shoukai's own back channels. Lebanon leads Arab world in PhDs. A study by American Caldwell across 12 Arab countries found Lebanon ranks first in the region for PhD holders per capita, and third overall for education and research standards, behind Qatar and the UAE, linking the result to Lebanon's deep-rooted academic tradition. Equal states, equal history.
Al Jazeera reports that Lebanon and Syria are building a new bilateral relationship as equals after Assad's fall. But analysts say Damascus's top Lebanon priorities, Syrian prisoners, border control, refugee returns, are moving slowly, as Syria remains consumed by its own stabilization challenges. In international news, BBC investigation leads to arrest of major people smuggling network leader. Cardo Jaff, a 28-year-old Iraqi Kurd who operated under the alias Cardo Rania, was arrested by Kurdistan Regional Security Agency officers after a BBC investigation unmasked his real identity, which he had kept secret to evade international arrest warrants. Jaff's network is believed to have transported thousands of migrants across the English Channel into the UK in recent years. He had advertised a VIP family smuggling service priced at £160,000, with cheaper options involving dangerously overpacked boats. The UK's National Crime Agency confirmed a suspected smuggler had been arrested on May 13th, with its Director General of Operations stating the NCA currently has more than 100 active investigations into top-tier organized immigration crime networks across the Middle East and Africa. The bigger picture. The case illustrates how open-source journalism and law enforcement coordination can reach smuggling networks that previously operated with relative impunity across international borders. Sudan. Commander filmed killing civilians reportedly back on the battlefield. RAUSAF Brigadier General Al-Fatah Abdallah Idris, known as Abu Lulu, was sanctioned by the UN Security Council on February 24 for human rights abuses after four videos verified by Reuters shot him at least 15 unarmed captives in Al-Fashir on October 27 during the RAUSAF's takeover of the city. Nine sources told Reuters that Abu Lulu has since been released from prison and returned to active combat in Kurdistan. Three separate sources, including a RAUSAF commander and a RAUSAF officer, said the deputy RAUSAF commander personally ordered his release. The RAUSAF-led government issued a statement flatly denying the release, saying Abu Lulu has been in detention since arrest and has never left prison, while Reuters was unable to independently reach Abu Lulu or confirm the exact date of his release. A separate UN probe had found more than 6,000 people were killed by RAUSAF Fafers between October 25th and 27 alone, and an independent UN investigation concluded the mass killings in Al-Fashir bear the hallmarks of genocide. What to watch? Whether the RAUSAF-appointed accountability committee proceeds in the formal trial, or whether Abu Lulu's reported return to combat signals how much weight that process carries, will be closely tracked by UN monitors and international rights groups. Climate scientists narrow the range. Worst case is less catastrophic. Best case is still too hot. Researchers have updated their framework of plausible carbon emission scenarios, retiring the extreme ends. The new worst case projects 3.5 degrees Celsius of warming by 2100, a full degree less than the old scenario, while even the best case now shoots past the Paris Agreement's 1.5 degree target. The world is currently about 1.3 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, and warming at roughly a tenth of a degree every 5 years. The middle scenario, which scientists say reflects society's current trajectory, projects 3 degrees of warming by century's end. The improved upper-end outlook is pegged partly to renewable energy costs falling by nearly 90% over the past 15 years, though scientists warn that climate feedbacks, such as carbon releases from oceans and forests, could add another 0.5 degrees on top of emissions-driven projections. Zooming out, the narrowing of scenarios captures both the measurable progress of the global energy transition and the gap that still exists between current policy ambition and the pace required to avoid significant climate disruption. And now, Red Hake. Besides that, Arsenal, finally, champions. After finishing second three consecutive seasons, Arsenal clinched the Premier League title, capping a six-year project under Mikel Arteta, who now takes his squad to Budapest on May 30th to face PSG in the Champions League final, one win away from the greatest season in the club's history. Dede found her way home. Lebanese-American journalist Della Casilla spent 36 years hiding her Lebanese identity after immigrating to Detroit at 16, until a New Year's Eve email from a childhood neighbor in Beirut cracked everything open, and she reclaimed her hyphenated identity, her Arabic, and her story. 500 strong in Halifax. The Moronite Diocese of Canada gathered 500 young Lebanese-Canadians in Halifax for its annual Moronite Youth Conference, with Archbishop Tabet telling participants, "You are the hope of the church and its renewed energy," and speakers including the Lieutenant Governor of Prince Edward Island. The Valley's Quiet Giant, Father Dario Escobar, a Colombian theologian who abandoned wealth and fame to live as a hermit in Lebanon's Qadisha Valley, has died at 92, spending his final decades in prayer, gardening, and solitude in one of Lebanon's most sacred mountain sanctuaries, sleeping on a stone pillow. That's your Wednesday. Go make something beautiful out of it. That's today's Sabahiyya. Share it with a friend.